Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Hello, this is Robert Stack of Unsolved Mysteries, wishing you the best for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
The Bob Seska Show.
You know, it's funny with Robert Stack. It sounds like he's always talking through a sock.
This is Robert Stack. Welcome to Unsolved Mysteries. Have a great Thanksgiving and a Happy New Year from Robert Stack.
That's how I do it. I just put the microphone up to my throat. That's how it works. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, December 9, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 324 of the Biden-Harris administration. 333 days until the 22 midterms. I am on Instagram. My handle is The Bob Seska. All of my personal crap is on my Instagram page, The Bob Seska. I'm also on Twitter at BobSeska_go. All right, Jody Hamilton isn't here today. She's at the dentist, hopefully in not too much pain, but hopefully the drugs are good. So let's do this. David's back. David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. That is his music project. Go over there, support him, download all of his music, and we thank you in advance. Also, sitting in for Jody in Jody's chair right now, oh my God, it's Johnson.
Pursuing the agenda of manicide, here's Kimberly.
There you are.
How
all right.
How come he doesn't say here's Johnson?
The reason for the Johnson thing is you once got a DM that was just, hello, Johnson.
No, hello, Bob. Hello, Johnson.
I love that. I love the hello, Johnson. Okay. So we've got a round table of Gen Xers here.
All right.
And we determined that, Kimberly, you were not a goth. David was a goth. But you
No, I wasn't. I was a death rocker like Kimberly.
Yeah. Oh,
we weren't called goths yet.
We were death rockers.
Oh,
hello.
Okay. Duh.
We were death rockers slash art f***s.
I wasn't an art f***. But I was really just a wannabe death rocker, as I love to share that I had skeleton earrings, but they were clip-on.
The question is now, do I bleep the F word, guys? Thank you. Now I got to figure that out.
Why? I thought we could cuss on this show.
Yeah, we can, but the F, not the F fuck word. I'm talking
I think
about
if a gay person
oh,
says it.
Oh, that word.
It's, if an
no,
actual
it's totally okay if David says
gay
it.
And guy
if
says
we can communicate with him in it in response to it, I think that's okay.
All right.
Plus, you didn't come up with that term.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a term that was hoisted on you.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Right. Well, I think it's going to get bleeped anyway. I'm bleeping it anyway just to be on the safe side.
Someone's going to get pissed off.
This is the age of cancel culture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those distinctions don't make it through the Twitterverse.
You know, but
so
who's really canceled?
That's true. Hey, what do you got? Who's on the show next week? Who's on your show on the Start Me Up podcast with Kimberly A. Johnson?
So on my Start Me Up podcast, which is patreon.com/startmeup, the last week of the year, mm-hmm. I'm having Noel Kazler on Monday and
wow,
Ben Cohen on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Noel Kazler, Did you see the Donald Trump?
Ben Cohen, the gay rugby player?
Ben Cohen from The Banter.
Mr. Moses' father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ben Cohen is the founder of The Daily Banter and now called The Banter at thebanter.substack.com.
And he's got a British accent that's
Yes, he's got the sexy, sexy British accent that makes all the women's panties fly right off.
Just as a side note, everybody who's got your phone nearby, Google Ben Cohen gay rugby and you'll see.
I'm sure our Ben Cohen will appreciate that.
He's like a Scottish rugby player, I think, and he came out a couple of years ago, and it was just like the entire bear chasing universe just. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I was saying, did you see the Donald Trump holiday ornament? It's Donald Trump, I think, on a crucifix, and he's got the he's got just the loincloth on, like the crucifix loincloth. Yes. So I think John Fugelsang tweeted something along the lines, well, this isn't totally sacrilegious because Donald Trump does wear a diaper. So
right, there you go.
I thought that was good.
But did they include the beer belly or did they give him the Jesus body?
It looked really svelte, had that swimmer's body, the swimmer's physique that all of the crucifixes have. You ever notice that?
Well, you know, well, because he does CrossFit. But there
you go. You know what? CrossFit might be the first contender for the name of today's show. All right, lots to talk about today. We're going to jump into...
I won't show up on my Twitter then because that's one of the words I have blocked in my feed.
That's right. So Mark Meadows has already turned over a ton of documentation to the 1-6 committee. We're going to talk about his lawsuit against the 1-6 committee here in just a second. But before we dive into that, there was a big leak that happened today. And I'm not talking about something that Donald Trump would look at inside a hotel room in Moscow. I'm talking about a legitimate leak of some... Yeah, I get another.
I hear about enormous leak and immediately you remember the Olestra chips. Remember those?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was disgusting.
May cause anal leakage.
Yes, that's so nasty.
No fat, but you poop yourself all the time. That was the Olestra anal chips. Leakage. Yeah. I don't know whatever happened to that.
Precursor to the ivermectin era.
Yeah. So anyway, so this PowerPoint demonstration was leaked, I think, from the 1-6 committee. It could have come from another source, probably the 1-6 committee. Mm-hmm. And this is a PowerPoint document that was assembled by Mark Meadows, and it details the entire strategy for 1-6, for January 6th, for the insurrection, and exactly what the White House was planning to do, trying to do throughout that process of attempting to steal the election. And there's one section of it that jumped out to me. And this is the part that gets really creepy, because most of it is the usual conspiracy theory stuff, the Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell kind of nonsense, like, oh, China made fake ballots and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Or the ballot dumps. They're making a big deal over the ballot dumps. We've heard Donald Trump.
Huge dumps.
Yeah, big dumps. Where are all the dumps coming from? That was part of the controversy. And so in a section called Count the Ballots Top Level Plan, here are some of the details that were enumerated in this PowerPoint presentation. A trusted lead counter will be appointed with authority from the President of the United States to direct the actions of select federalized National Guard units and support from DOJ, DHS, and other U.S. government agencies as needed to complete a recount of the legal paper ballots for the federal elections in all 50 states. And this is after the part of the strategy that involves rejecting all of the counterfeit ballots, assuming that there are counterfeit ballots in the first place, but then also saying, okay, well, when we find the counterfeit ballots, we're going to reject them. So that the rest of the ballots, the remaining ballots, are going to get counted while under guard from federalized National Guard units with support from DOJ and DHS. And we remember from the Black Lives Matter protests in Washington, D.C., that there were some sort of shock troops coming from somewhere, probably DOJ. And
people with the unmarked vans.
Yeah, who are disappearing protesters.
Right.
We saw video of that. They were not identifying themselves. We had no sense of who they were until after the fact. Well, it looks like they were going to involve more of those guys in the process of guarding the vote counting. Next, U.S. Marshals, they're involving U.S. Marshals now, will immediately secure all ballots and provide a protective perimeter around the locations in all 50 states. So these, basically, we're looking at Donald Trump's shock troops, Donald Trump's military going in and, you know, helping him steal the election. DHS, this is the next bullet point. DHS will use their emergency response logistic capabilities to support the effort. They will integrate the IT support that will include separating out the legal from the counterfeit ballots and communications with all supporting the efforts and cameras, possibly cell phones, imaging each and every ballot. These images will be distributed to the internet. Oh, God, what could possibly go wrong in that process?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. This is the White House strategy.
One of the things that's really becoming very clear here is that Mark Meadows has a skull full of dryer lint. I mean, he's not the smartest guy. I mean, he's making Devin Nunez look astute and adroit at this point. You know, like,
wait till we get to the whole thing about the 1-6 committee and his testimony and his lawsuit and involving his book and his backpedaling and Donald Trump's betrayal and all of that. That's still to come. This is the fourth and final bullet point in this weird section of this leaked PowerPoint document. The federalized National Guard in each state will be supplied detailed processes and be responsible for counting each legitimate paper ballot. Teams made up of three, first couple counties will be five. National Guard members will do the counting. As the counting occurs, each ballot will be imaged and the images placed on the internet once again, so any U.S. citizen can view them and count the ballots themselves. The process will be completely transparent, and holy God, would it have been chaotic. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if they had dumped every single ballot? What are we talking about? There were 84 million people voted for Joe Biden. How many millions of people voted for Donald Trump? How many ballots are we talking about?
I think it was 82 million for Biden and 74. I mean, 82 and 74, I think.
Okay. So we're talking about close to 200 million ballots. Can you imagine those 200 million ballots being dumped onto the fucking internet where everyone from, you know, Joe Rogan's minion to all the Red Hat Entertainment Complex shows across AM Talk
Gateway
Radio.
Pundit.
Oh, my God. Gateway Pundit. Yeah. All of the Breitbart people, the Reddit people. Oh, my God. The Reddit people alone counting ballots.
I know.
Isn't this a large part of Donald Trump's overall strategy, which is chaos? We saw it on the morning show. First season of the morning show. Billy Crudup says chaos is the new cocaine.
Yeah.
And to me, that underscored the entire Donald Trump strategy. Attain power by generating chaos.
Except Junior still likes the old cocaine.
That's right. Yeah. Well, in some cases, cocaine is still the best and newest cocaine. But in a lot of cases, we're talking about practically an addiction to chaos, or at least using chaos as a way to wiggle out of malfeasance and accountability. And that's what we're talking about here.
And distract people, but also to make people so exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That they tune out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes with people like Donald Trump, people get so exhausted, they're like, oh, fuck it, just let him do what he's going to do. And that's kind of the danger in all of this. It gets people to tune out. It gets people to disengage. And that's part of the process of Fox News. Fox News has been using that strategy forever by saying, well, if they're doing it and we're doing it too, then everybody's doing it and it's Chinatown and fuck it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's inevitable. And people go, yeah, I don't care. Politics sucks. I'm checking out. And the more people who check out of politics and refuse to vote, the better the Republicans do. So that's kind of the centerpiece of this in a way, obviously, on top of everything else, damaging the integrity of our elections. And that continues to be an ongoing process. But it's amazing to me still that there are countless millions of people who believe that the election was stolen per some of the allegations made in this PowerPoint document. I know Mueller, she wrote, posted this, a link to this on their Twitter feed, so you can find it there. Meantime, Mark Meadows is suing the 1-6 committee, and I think I know what happened. Mark Meadows released that book where he's got all kinds of salacious information about Donald Trump, including the fact that he tested positive for COVID 6 days before he was actually hospitalized for it. Mm-hmm. And in between there, met with 500 people.
500.
On top of participating in that presidential debate on that Tuesday. So after that information came out, Mark Meadows was like, oh, holy shit. I'm kind of screwed with, you know, the entire MAGA movement. I need
well,
to
again,
make...
what did he think?
Was, I know, mean, that's what I'm like.
Not a forward-thinking guy.
No, yeah, like, yeah. What was he thinking when he was writing the book and talking about how Trump basically wanted to get Biden sick?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he think was going... What did he think? Mm-hmm. Nothing, clearly.
Yeah, well, that's the ongoing theory that Donald Trump, in one way... I mean, obviously, Donald Trump is driven by the idea that he wants to project strength. He doesn't want to look right. weak. And as soon as he were to fall ill from COVID, he would look weak. So there's mm-hmm. that dimension to it. But there is also the dimension that, hey, look, if Joe Biden gets sick too... Oh, well, yeah. Womp womp. Yeah. There he goes. Old decrepit Joe Biden falling sick. You know, too bad. Too bad. That would be the tweet.
Then you would have got President Kamala and you would not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows what would happen.
Yeah, who knows at that point because, you know, but it was just during the debates.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I mean, I think the release of the book was a pivot point for Mark Meadows' negotiations with the 1-6 committee. Mm-hmm. Up till that point, he looked like he was willing to at least negotiate, if not fully testify. Without a subpoena and all that. So he was going to voluntarily show up. And then suddenly this book comes out. Donald Trump, it's reported by Maggie Haberman that Donald Trump feels betrayed mm-hmm. by the things in the book, which predictable, obviously. Donald Trump is a wafer thin weakling, despite his obsession with looking strong. So then, in order to make up for that, Mark Meadows has to pull back and say, fuck you, 1-6 committee, I'm not showing up. And on top of saying, fuck you, 1-6 committee, I'm not showing up, he's suing them. And he's suing Nancy Pelosi on top of that, too.
Unbelievable.
From Bernie.
About information he's already turned
I know.
Over.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Referring to the documents that Meadows did hand over, Thompson's letter calls him out of a text exchange he had with, quote, a member of Congress apparently about appointing alternate electors in certain states as part of a plan that the member acknowledged would be highly controversial, and to which Mr. Meadows apparently said, I love it.
Yeah.
Was his response.
I love it.
Exactly. So we've talked about this plan before, this whole idea of alternative electors. They wanted to do that. I mean, that was a big portion of the election fraud. Mike Pence is going to introduce these alternate electors, and that's going to throw the congressional certification process into chaos. And then it eventually, yada, 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 lands in the House of Representatives where they decide the winner of the election, which would inevitably be Donald Trump because there are more Republican delegations than there are Democratic delegations in the House, despite the Democrats holding a majority. It's just the fucked up way the House works. And so that was part of it. The alternate electors, though, were never certified by any of the states. However, that brings us to 24. They're making moves to make sure that the, you know, that some of the states could ostensibly appoint alternate electors mm-hmm. that countermand the existence of any Democratic electors. So the Democratic electors of a particular state get rejected. The state legislature, if controlled by Republicans, they put up the alternate electors, and then those alternate electors get certified by Congress, and that's the ball game. So this is the kind of scary shit. On one hand, we're looking back at 2020. On the other hand, we're looking ahead to 24 and how this thing, because I mean, for the last year now, the Republicans have all been using the big lie, mm-hmm. and it's all a gigantic lie. There was no theft of the 2020 election other than by Donald Trump and his team. And that's what's truly scary about this. But however, there are good guys, good people working on this. And strangely enough, one of those heroes, I mean, obviously disagree with her on lots of different things, but Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney
Wouldn't
is...
Wouldn't it be funny if she's the one who leaked it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are a lot of possibilities for that, but it would be very, very funny if Liz Cheney leaked this information.
It would be such a quick pipeline to, you know, send it to her dad, who mm-hmm. sends it out to, you know, mm-hmm. and it just
right.
four steps removed, and it's in the public domain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she posted a progress report on Twitter just a few minutes ago. She writes, "Thread for those interested in the Jan 6 committee's progress. The committee has already met with nearly 300 witnesses. We hear from four more key figures in the investigation today. We are conducting multiple depositions and interviews every week. We have received exceptionally interesting and important documents from a number of witnesses, including Mark Meadows, and I think this PowerPoint we were just talking about is one of them. He has turned over many texts from his private cell phone from January 6th. Again, this is perfect. This is so smart. You know why this tweet, this particular tweet is smart? Because it's exposing Mark Meadows to the MAGA cult. Mm-hmm. It's look at this guy cooperating with us. Fuck you, Mark Meadows. Good luck with the ratios. Good luck with the phone calls and the hate mail for cooperating with the committee. He has turned over many texts from his private cell phone from January 6th. Thank you, Mark Meadows, you dickhead. And she continues by saying, she didn't say the dickhead part, by the way. We have litigated and won Trump's executive privilege case in federal district court. The federal appellate court has expedited the appeal, and we anticipate a ruling regarding many more Trump White House documents soon. The investigation is firing on all cylinders. Do not be misled. President Trump is trying to hide what happened on January 6th and to delay and obstruct. We will not let that happen. The truth will come out. There it is. And good news also, in case you're not aware, starting in January, that's when the public hearings begin. And that's going to be really good television. That's going to be must-see TV. And what happens usually in these
public hearings, I want public hangings.
Well, what happens here usually in these sorts of investigations, these congressional investigations, is first they get them on the record through private testimony, private depositions. And so this way, without the TV cameras, they can probably get better answers from some of the witnesses mm-hmm. without the dog and pony show that the cameras involve. And then they wheel them out on television, and then they can match up what they say in public hearings versus mm-hmm. what they said in private.
In your testimony of January 16th,
right,
Senator, you said this.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how they do it, David. And so that's all good news. So we're all looking forward to those public hearings. Obviously, it's going to be quite a circus, and you know there may be some explosive testimony in the process there. I think they're going to tailor who testifies based on the most explosive information. And quite honestly, I'm glad that they're waiting until 22 to do these public hearings. Because obviously anything that would have happened prior to now would get flushed down the memory hole by the time people go around to vote in the midterms. So the timing is extremely mm-hmm. important for how all of this information gets exposed to public view, and especially some of that testimony. Closer we are to November 22, the better the timing is going to be. Because this isn't just about holding all of these assholes accountable for what happened on January 6th and prior to that. But it's also about telling the American people that, you know, look, this Republican Party, they're building an entire infrastructure to bring about this fascist authoritarianism in this country. And look, see, you know, it's not just a conspiracy theory, Fox News watchers. This is really happening because mm-hmm. you're seeing the witnesses, you're seeing the perpetrators testifying publicly on television. You can't say it's fake news.
Yeah, and that's going to help. And I wish I could remember who it was that I was talking to. It might be Greg Oliar. But anyway, it was talking about the idea of when there's nobody testifying, when we don't see anybody getting held accountable, it's much easier for those Fox viewers mm-hmm. to be in denial.
Yeah.
It's not mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they're going to become liberal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're automatically going to buy all of reality.
Yeah.
But it's going to be so much harder for them to deny what's mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all positive.
You know, that is the only thing they're really willing to apply themselves to.
It's right.
Like the only gymnastics they do are the mental ones they do.
Right, exactly. You
know, like,
my question is, some of the guys who are pleading the fifth, I wonder if they're going to also plead the fifth publicly. I wonder if Roger Stone and Alex Jones and
Roger Wood. Are you kidding me?
Well, those fucking idiots. They don't know that you still have to testify.
When
you plead the Fifth, you're just asking for immunity from prosecution for the things that you're going to reveal. You can't just blow off your appointment with the judge. You know, it's not a hall pass. The Fifth Amendment means you are now cooperating with the investigation.
Well, he's Roger Stone, another one of the freak dogs from this entire thing. You got an entire caucus of weirdos who are, in fact, the whole thing is driven by weirdos. But these are the weirdos of the weirdos, the even weirder weirdos.
The weirdest weirdos of them all.
Yeah. So Alex Jones is pleading the Fifth. Roger Stone, we found out today, is also pleading the Fifth in this investigation. But, you know, this is, to me, in any...
The greatest legal mind since unfrozen caveman lawyer.
That's right. I mean, the thing about pleading the Fifth is it immediately makes the Fifth pleader appear guilty.
Guilty as fuck.
Yeah, and that's why I want to see them stand up and say, you know, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. Mm-hmm. I'm exercising my Fifth Amendment rights. I want to see them say that on television.
Right.
Because it's one thing to see them acting guilty behind closed doors or hearing about it after the fact. It's another thing entirely to actually see it on live television. Again, part of the point here is to break through that Fox News bubble, Red Hat Entertainment Complex bubble. And I think public hearings will do that.
It
and again,
will help.
If you can nullify the stupid fake news trope, this is one way to do that. So that's all
but
good.
But those crazy MAGA people are never going to come around.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I keep thinking about the fact that, like, in my time as a, you know, online journalist, furiously, like, you know, refuting and publishing fact checks and, like, flying against the wind that was coming out of that asshole's mouth, I now realize that, like, I helped spread his message inadvertently. It's like a wasp that stings a caterpillar and puts an egg in it so that the baby wasps can eat the caterpillar until it's ready to live on its own.
Yeah.
Like it kind of like, and I realized it actually watching Fox News and hearing Tucker Carlson rage about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's platform of perfectly normal common sense ideas. He's like, free college! Support for seniors! Oh my God, this is disgusting! Socialist filth!
Did you see yesterday he was talking, or maybe it was sometime earlier this week, Tucker Carlson was defending Vladimir Putin in Russia, saying, oh yeah, all he's doing is protecting his border. What a stupid fucking thing to say.
Money, 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 money.
Did you see that blazing Christmas tree outside Fox News?
Oh, yeah.
That's all they can fucking talk about. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. They just care about that stupid fucking fake Christmas tree that a homeless person set on fire.
Right. And while it
a homeless person, I heard they were blaming it on Antrifa.
Antrifa. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay. He was the president of Antrifa.
I stole that off of Twitter, so I can't take credit for that.
Well, the thing is, they're going to stir up their crazies, and the crazies are going to set fire to the 30 Rock tree or something like that, because they're going to turn it into political. They're going to make it a political thing.
You know, they don't care that their own fucking base is dying of COVID. They care about this fucking stupid tree.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
The liberal, you know, the liberal war on Christmas. And what is their response when a fucking damaged child gets a gun as a gift, takes it to school, and murders four people? And then you see Republican lawmakers making their kids pose with semi-automatic weapons or assault rifles, I should say. I never know the difference, and God forbid I say the wrong fucking gun, and the whole fucking world has to come and correct me on which gun it is.
Yeah. Just say military weapons. That's what they are.
Military style weapons.
But it's like grenade launcher, claymore mine. I don't care what it is. Your kids should not be handling it.
No, and they say that liberals are, you know, got this war on Christmas when they're making their fucking children hold guns.
Yeah, well, it's like in Breakfast Club where Judd.
Nelson.
Judd Nelson. Thank you.
I've seen her dehydrate before. It's really gross.
I tend to mix up all of my Judds, but it's where Judd Nelson talks about getting a carton of cigarettes for Christmas.
Right.
That's the same kind of thing. I mean, when did we skew off on this tangent, this space-time continuum tangent, where it's actually something that's virtuous to show a photograph of your kids all holding military style rifles. Mm-hmm. That's like next level madness. It's like I tweeted the other day. I said, where are you getting them cigarettes and whiskey too? Cocaine, hookers? Is this what we're doing for our children now? And
online gambling accounts.
They're conservative family values.
God, it's
the party of personal responsibility.
Yep. Well, we have lots more to talk about here on today's show. We're going to talk about Letitia James lowering the boom on Donald Trump a little bit more. Plus, we're going to be talking about how Joe Biden continues to be the jobs president. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Plus, oh shit, Josh Duggar. Yeah. Is guilty again. And this is fucking awful. Yes, awful, awful, awful. All right, today's show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, don't sweat it. I've got the solution for you. It's called BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. In fact, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. You can log into your account anytime you want. You can send a message to your therapist and get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You can do it on your couch. You can do it in your bed. Talking to your therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and good news, financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/Cesca. That's BetterHelp.com/CESCA. Link in the description at BobCesca.com and join over 2 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And here, your special offer for Bob Seska Show listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Seska. Again, link in the description. BetterHelp.com/Seska. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. Down trees, putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river and I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, you know, it stays pretty green. Gonna make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, the great Bob Malone right here. Our second of three covers of this song for our late friend Ches Bezienza's favorite Christmas song right here. Bob Malone performing Joni Mitchell's River from his album called...
Are you going to play mine?
Did you do one?
No, I did this song, right? I begged you to play it last year. And you're like, women only this year, Dave. No, sorry.
Oh, shit. Well, you got to get it to me.
I'm sending you the file right now.
Okay, please do. So it's the second of four versions of this.
Yeah, but it was only women.
Yeah, we were only doing women last year. So
yeah. And I was like, surely, I was like, can you poll the performers and see if they mind if I share their dressing room? Okay. I'm pretty sure they don't.
Well, screw me. Send it over. I'll play it next week. That sounds good. We are still going to wrap up the River Marathon with CeCe Grace's version of River. I think that'll be on maybe the after party next week, our very last show before the end of the year. Meantime,
I wonder if she and I have time to do a duet of it.
But yeah. I've got a link in the description to support Bob Malone and to download this version of the song. Meantime, we're going to be resuming all of our regular indie music in January. So if you want to submit now, bobseska.com/music. All right, let's dig back into everything happening today. Letitia James is ramping up her investigation of Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. She's seeking a deposition from Donald Trump early next year as part of her investigation into potential fraud inside the Trump Organization. James has requested to take his testimony on January 7, the day after the one-year anniversary of the insurrection.
Wow.
At her New York office as part of a civil investigation. Remember, this is a state-level investigation. Mm-hmm. There are no criminal charges here because you cannot arrest and imprison a corporation. So this is because this is an investigation primarily of the Trump Organization. This will be all civil damages. But we know Letitia James has already decimated. What? She got rid of the Trump University? Yeah. Didn't she nail the Trump University and the Trump Foundation to the point where none of the Trumps can ever run a charitable foundation ever again in their lives? That's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And now she's got the Trump Organization in her sight. And why is that? Because Donald Trump was inflating his assets for loan applications and deflating his assets for the purposes mm-hmm. of tax returns.
Yeah.
And so they've got evidence of this now. There's a building in Lower Manhattan that Donald Trump owns that on one document they showed something like a valuation of $600 million. On the other application for, I think, a local tax, he showed a valuation of $16 million for the same building.
Wow.
So you get the gigantic right. disparity here. Obviously, there's no reason to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt in any of this. Obviously, he's scamming the system. For his own personal financial gain. And that's
We've known for a fact since Michael Cohen's testimony 3 years ago that he did mm-hmm. this.
Oh, yeah. 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 So it's happening. Justice moves a little bit slowly because there's due process mm-hmm. and there are rules for how these investigations take place. And while it's so tantalizing, you want him in prison as swiftly as possible. Mm-hmm. But we're running up against our institutions. And I think it behooves us to maintain those institutions while also bringing down accountability upon all of these crooks and criminals.
What did it do to us?
What?
It behooves us?
Behooves us. Are you unfamiliar with that?
It sounded like you said behooves. Boohooves.
It boozes us. Yes. Well, it does make us drink.
Behooves us.
Yeah. It does make us drink copiously.
But will it give you like the ugly hoof like feet like Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Marjorie Three Toes.
Right.
Are we behooved now?
Literally, it's behooving us. We're getting Marjorie Three Toes feet, Fred Flintstone feet. Oh, shit.
I like calling her Marjorie Three Hooves.
Three Hooves.
I like calling her Marjorie Potato Head.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. Well, the upshot of this testimony is going to be, this deposition is going to be Donald Trump saying, I don't remember. I don't.
Exactly.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he's going to try to wiggle his way out of everything.
Yeah.
And he always tries to do.
The Trump MO is to just say, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. That's what Don Jr. said to Mueller over mm-hmm. and over again. I don't remember. I don't remember. But speaking of Trumps, did you guys see Mary Trump has her own podcast?
Yes, she does.
The Mary Trump, the Mary Trump Show.
My God, we have to all go on together. Yeah, she'll have us.
We all have to get on a bus and go up there now and invade her house. And yes. She'll be right in the middle of recording a show and be like, we're here. Hello.
Right. And she's interviewing
What are you doing?
Barbara Walters.
She,
or
she
something,
interviewed Molly,
know.
I think.
Yeah, Molly John Fast was the first guest on the show. Yeah. I feel personally slighted. I feel like I should have been the first guest.
God damn it, write an open letter.
But, you know, Molly Jong Fast, yeah. You know.
Miss Popular.
Yeah, so she is Miss Popular. I'm so excited for Mary. That'd be perfect format. In fact, the first sentence of the first podcast, she says the word fucking.
All right, I love her.
That's
God, I love her so much.
Mary.
Yeah.
Guns blazing. I see she's out of the gate with a strong, assertive.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So everyone else's podcasts just lost a bunch of traffic because now Mary is going to be getting all the traffic. But that's good. We wish her well.
Mary.
And yeah,
we should
Mary.
Like really promote it on Facebook, and we should really all go to iTunes podcast and give it 4 stars and review it and just be like,
just because
so she
she's
can, like,
related.
Yeah.
Donald,
just so
she
can
it.
Like punch. Joe yes. Rogan's number one rating, yes. right, in his little tiny dick face. Yes. You know?
And while you're there, how about a 5-star rating and review for the show called The Bob Seska Show?
Yeah, and my
show,
too.
Can we just let
too.
Mary have her moment? Just about Mary for a minute.
But we're all doing podcasts.
Promote my podcast, too. I have a Patreon, by the way. All right, Joe Biden, hey, congratulations to us, to the economy, to the United States of America. The economy is starting to boom. And just as Mitch McConnell was on the floor of the Senate yesterday saying,
Joe Biden owns this economy.
Yeah.
It's more of a Snuffleupagus kind of.
Joe Biden owns this economy. You got to get a little waiver in it, you know. And a little bit of sort of host nasal kind of.
That's perfect.
And then you need the slimy slee stack sound.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Oh, that's a turtle fucking a croc.
Oh, God. I have that sound somewhere. I stashed
it. I know you do, Bob. We don't ever need to hear it again.
I know. I know. I put it away because it was making people sick, which is not the reaction I want from the show. Yeah.
That's really
making people outrage, making people laugh. These are the things that we try to achieve on the show. Making people want to vomit because it's the sound of a turtle fucking a croc. That's probably not a good thing.
And for a good portion of the gay people in the audience, it's the fact that it's a croc.
Yeah.
Okay. Turtle is irrelevant, but it's, oh God, you had to pick a croc?
Yeah.
Right.
You couldn't even find like a nice Manolo Blahnik to go home with?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you can't talk about it and then not play it. Wait a second, here it comes. There we go. All right, so he's done. He's finished.
All male animals are pretty much the same, aren't we?
That's right. About, 10 seconds in? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Joe Biden is the jobs president. I was about to talk about this. The economy is booming.
But we had to take a moment.
We had to take a moment.
Detour into turtle ejaculation.
Yeah, well, of course, it's Mitch McConnell. You can't talk about the Turtle Club without mentioning turtley Mitch McConnell. And... on top of that, Jim Cramer has announced that the economy is a juggernaut now. He said yesterday on CNBC, the economy is a juggernaut now, and we can accept the fact that we have to have rate increases and not kill the market. It's interest rate increases by the Fed. And I just keep coming back to one word, boom. I think that we could go to a period where we have an economic boom, not unlike the post-World War I era, Cramer added. So that's all great news. And thank you again, Mitch McConnell, for making sure that...
Making sure Biden gets all the credit.
Yeah. We're all so traumatized. Let's party. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is one thing I know about people. Everyone's like, people are lazy. If we gave universal basic income, everybody would just stay home and smoke dope and watch TV or whatever. But honestly, most people that I know like to work. They go to their jobs. I mean, even when their jobs are hard, like nurses.
Yeah.
At the bottom of it all, they are helping people.
Well, and yeah, people want to feel a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think purpose is a big deal. Not everyone feels it, but I think most of us do. We want to have a sense of belonging and purpose and that we're contributing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this news came down the other day that 30 million people were recipients of that child tax credit. So they're getting checks. And if Build Back Better passes, those checks are going to be extended for at least another year. I'm not sure exactly where the negotiations are as far as that goes. But yeah, that's part of it.
There's been a massive expansion in food aid. Like I was watching a family like trying out all their new like free stuff, certificates from Washington.
Yeah.
Like, and they were able to obtain a whole range of items that were unavailable to them before in terms of like, you know, things that were maybe a little pricier but were like quality food, like you know, fresh vegetables.
And, yeah, yeah. Well, part of the problem is some press outlets are starting to report, well, yeah, all this is good news, but people aren't feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Oh, God damn it. If they're...
Well, no, maybe your portfolio isn't leaping, you assholes, but like people have an expanded range of food credits they can get.
Right.
Like you're not feeling it because those people don't talk to you about their money. They make your coffee in the morning at Starbucks. Yep. They struggle to put their kids into good schools. They are working hard every day, and they need all the help they can get. But this is, I mean, most of the people like who are on the set of Morning Joe every morning are already rich.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
millionaires.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like...
Well, and it's also like the political people are writing about Kamala Harris's Bluetooth phobia because she doesn't want to use fucking Bluetooth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Okay, let's quickly go ahead and, like, name the main... well, people may not be aware of this if they're not, like, extremely online. But Sam Stein from fucking Politico started saying that, you know, Kamala Harris, our vice president, has a phobia of Bluetooth because she doesn't think it's secure and uses wired headphones consistently. Yeah. And this was supposed to be some, like, how will like the Biden administration ever overcome this?
Right.
And, like...
Oh, God damn it,
but,
that
like,
pisses me off.
Seriously, but, like, my Twitter feed went right down the middle mm-hmm. with, like, total... Well, actually, my Twitter feed, half of it was K-Hivers, like, sharpening their spears and, like, you know, loading up their you know, assault weapons or whatever to go after these people. Mm-hmm. And the other half were the nerdy security and tech people I know who were yeah, Bluetooth has known security risks that a person as high-ranking and a priority target like Kamala Harris should not be using Bluetooth for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Politico was called out by the Washington Post. I can't remember the guy's name. But they did an article specifically on how I don't know if it was only Politico, but Politico was one of the sites that they called on saying that it was more negative press.
Oh, it's Dana Milbank.
Dana Milbank.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
More negative press for Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And the thing is it's like, okay, first of all, Joe Biden is a decent president. And he's doing good things. More negative press on him than the fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
And how do they, it was like the day after this article comes out, the Politico article comes out about Bluetooth phobia.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a big middle finger.
Yeah.
Sam Stein had to basically lock up his Twitter feed because he was just completely getting dragged by everybody.
Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
I don't understand why they feel... I mean, well, I know exactly what's going on. It's not... This time it's, you know, we now know it's like not the Bluetooth thing. It wasn't her emails. Mm-hmm. It's, but they're females.
They're, mm-hmm. And she's, you know, also not white. So that's even worse for her.
And they are terrified that she's going to go straight from this job to the presidency, which... Mm-hmm. You know, she was my original first choice.
Yeah, yeah. With women politicians, mm-hmm. it's always about how they're assholes and bitches.
Yeah.
That's the entire gist of this. There are... you can't
and Rand Paul is allowed to just strut around.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you can't even begin to count the number of a-holes on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. They're all a-holes. In fact, there are quite a few a-holes on the Democratic side, too, just in terms of their public behavior. Mm-hmm. They're just assholes. Politicians tend to be assholes, I mean, especially in private. But with women... Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. That is always the headline. Oh, yeah. She's a bitch. That goes back 40 years, for God's sake, with Hillary Clinton. She's been fighting mm-hmm. that one. So Kamala Harris is the latest victim of this trope.
When I was a teenager and in college, if I heard guys talking about a girl saying, God, she's such a bitch, I'd be like, let me go find her. I bet she's cool. Because they're all like trying to get like, you know, hey, you want to go? And no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Like, I like those girls. Those are my favorite girls. You know, it's kind of funny. A bitch is just a woman who is not giving a man something that he feels like he's entitled to.
That's right.
Period.
Well, meantime, the weekly jobless claims tumbled last week, reaching a fresh 52-year low as the U.S. jobs market climbs out of its pandemic-era hole, the Labor Department reported on Thursday. Initial filings for unemployment insurance totaled 184,000 for the week ending December 4th, the lowest going back to September 6th, 1969.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which is 182,000.
A year old.
Yeah, yeah. And I just by way of comparison, prior to the pandemic, the best month for unemployment claims under Donald Trump was something like 220,000.
Wow.
So this is a massive, massive win for the Biden administration. And that's why one of the first things I tweeted this morning was hashtag Democrats deliver jobs.
Yep.
And then you just include the headline. I mean, saying Democrats deliver jobs is very easy to do.
I'm going to do it right now.
Please do, because for some reason, and this is going back to one of my gripes about messaging, we could have the best messaging in the world, but if no one retweets it, does it make a sound? And the answer is no. I think I got 42 likes on that tweet. I'm sorry that I didn't, you know, breathe fire and shit all over Donald Trump with that tweet, this is good news information.
I just unretweeted you.
You just unretweeted me and then retweeted. I hope you retweeted me.
I'm going to go back and retweet. I just was listening to you and I went to just do it. And I, instead of hitting whatever I wanted to hit, I unretweeted you.
Thanks a lot.
Here
jerk.
I go. Okay, I just retweeted you again.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I correct the number I just said. 59 likes, 26 retweets. I have 62,000 followers on Twitter. We need to do better. It's not just the DNC, not just other Democratic organizations coming up with great messaging. We all have to do better circulating the message. And you shouldn't really care. I mean, as long as it's someone reputable, circulate that goddamn thing.
I'm bloody tired. I've got blisters on me fingers. Yeah.
That's right.
At what point between, like, folding giant piles of fleece again and again and again
as
the customers come through like wild animals and destroy them, or cleaning up after grown-ass people who drop their shit all over the floor of the fitting room and walk away.
Yeah, yeah. Like, good luck. Good luck with all of that. Okay, before we continue on, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson sitting right behind me here, we record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week, but this one is totally different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the stuff we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get two Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. So for $10 a month, you get the After Party, two Shadow Docket shows every damn week. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Snowflakes fall to the pavement on the crowded city streets. Vendors selling chestnuts and assorted Christmas treats. It's the time to give and share, a time to have a toast. It's the time to spend some time with those we love the most, and there'll be Christmas.
Oh, the great Mike Farley and Jen Farley, known together as the Farleys. Song here called Christmas Time from A Rock by the Sea Christmas, Volume 12. Link in the description to download that album or the individual songs, because it is a Bandcamp link. But go right to this song.
This reminds me of the best moments of the Everly Brothers, and the Everly Brothers are awesome.
They
and
are.
I will cut you if you say anything different.
I agree.
And of course, I always got to thank Mike Farley for introducing me to like half of the bands that we play here on the show. Okay, so moving along here, Josh Duggar was found guilty of possessing child pornography.
I'm so shocked.
This is in addition to the improper touching from a few years ago. This is awful shit because some of the porn.
You didn't look at it, did you?
No. Fuck you. Fuck. Of course I didn't look at it. I mean, how would you look at it anyway?
I know. Like, you can't do it.
This is according to the AP story, that some of the porn was toddlers.
Oh, my God.
Fucking toddlers. That's why I said the trigger warning. This is fucking horrendous.
Oh, my God.
So when you share those photographs of Josh Duggar with all of those fucking Republicans.
Yes.
Good God. They have wrapped their arms around this guy who's not only a molester, not only a sexual predator, but also, had a shed in his backyard or something like that where he would go out.
His Jack Shack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking
awful. Oh, my
God,
that's the title of today's show. Josh Duggar's Jack Shack.
Ew.
I don't think so. I'm sorry, David. That's awful.
Josh Duggar, okay.
Not going to happen.
I mean, here's the thing. If you've grown up around fundamentalists, and there were actually fortunately never any in my immediate family.
Yeah.
But there were people around me growing up in the South who had these kind of backward ass beliefs. And you can just smell the crazy coming off of them. And the more they're against something like sexuality or gayness or feminism or whatever,
right,
the more you realize that there is a white hot kernel of that thing burning inside them, trying to get out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, and they won't, but they won't go to therapy because Jesus, you know, never went to therapy.
Well, one of the reasons why we see all of these stupid ass Republicans in photographs with Josh Duggar is because whoever's part of their team, they'll embrace.
Right. Anybody.
They don't do their fucking homework.
Anybody.
Yeah. They're like, okay, well, he's a religious wingnut.
On TV.
Yeah.
Has, you know, airtime value.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really all about the size of the flash and the moment and the amount of time it will take up on TV.
I mean, it's all the biggest Republicans he's photographed with. And, you know, I think
Ted Cruz and Rand. I just posted a bunch of them. Rand Paul. And then who's the Huckabilly, whatever his fucking
Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's with them all.
Yeah.
But I mean, as soon as I saw the family, before, when he was still just a teenager, I could smell the sexual, like, there's just crazy shit going on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the least of it.
Well, this segment of the show is brought to you by Cultopraxapro.
Hello, and God bless. My name is Jim Bob Duggar from the hit television series 19 Kids and Counting.
And I'm Michelle Duggar. I'm a human gestation pod for the Lord.
As you might have read, we've been victimized by an evil, devilish media scandal.
The media, agenda, media, just...
People have asked us, wow, Jim Bob, how do you and Michelle stay so even-keeled and unaffected by all the turmoil and improper touching?
Turmoil? Is the devil's work.
Yes, it is, Michelle.
I like shoes. Shoes are fun.
Here's how we achieve our current state of glazed, vacant, emotionless bliss. From the folks at Quiverful Laboratory in Heber Springs, Arkansas, we've been taking all new maximum strength Cultopraxapro.
Cultopraxapro.
Right you are, honey. Maximum Strength Cultopraxapro is a cocktail of the world's finest anti-anxiety and anti-psychotic medications, including...
Chlorpromazine, Loxapac, Drolaptin, Perphenazine, Compazine, Cafris, Abilify, Lurasidone, Seroquel, Zyprexa, Clozapine, Nipalept, and Haloperidol. Praise the Lord, there's an actual halo...
Anafranil, Norpramin, Cinequan, Trofranil, Marplan, Nardil, Emsam, Parnate, Xanax, Libria, Clonopin, Valium, Ativan, and Cerex.
Depakote, Lyrica, Neurontin, Tenormin, Korgar, Provasic, Inderol or Baycron, Moban, Risperol, Zalexa, Prozac, Luvox, Zoloft, Prospeak, Cymbalta, Fetzima.
Elavil, Amioxin, Doxepin, Novaril, White Zinfandel, Chlorhexfenadryl, Atipin, Vivictil, Humeril, Valdoxin, Wellbutrin, Metatone, and Alpha-Ethyltryptamine. Just take one Cultopraxapro with food.
Oh, I take 6 or 7 an hour.
That's nice.
My name is Michelle. Doodah, doodah.
It's Cultopraxapro from Quiverful Labs. When praying just isn't enough to stun you into an anesthetized cult-like state of emotional paralysis. Consult your Quiverful auditor before taking Cultopraxapro. You should not take 6 or 7 Cultopraxapro per hour. Side effects include dry mouth, wet mouth, lifeless eyes, Jersey girl hair, the barfs, pins and needles, rocks and garbage, dizziness, euphoria, no sense of right and wrong, spastic tone, moral superiority, the clap, ferret face, hysterical deafness, crusty limb balls, lengthy toenails, ectopic ectoplasm, the side hugs, gingivitis, bigotry, volcanic sputum, waxy lips, pubic staining, lens flare, gargantuan epiglottis, intravenous demilo, finger hair, and lung butter. Cultopraxapro. Use only as recommended.
Is it time for me to say improper touching again? Improper touching? Proper touching. It's improper touching. Proper.
Okay. I may have had a couple of drinks before writing that one.
And garbage. Well, yeah.
Rocks and garbage.
I heard that Letterman reference in there.
Absolutely.
I swear to you, it's David Letterman. They had these kids that were like supposed to be like Jewish kids. They sent to Iowa or something, and they're like, they pelted us with rocks and garbage.
Okay, that could be it. I may be wrong. It was a long time ago.
I'll find the clip.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We should ask Kimberly today, how's your earthen vessel?
My whole being, it's just earthen vessel. That's all I am.
God damn it.
So now you're a plant stand is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I really don't know. Am I an earthen vessel or am I a host body? Actually, I'm neither because I'm an old menopausal useless woman, according to the GOP.
Oh, God.
A broken vessel.
Yeah, I'm a broken vessel.
Yes,
I'm indeed a broken vessel host body.
So moving on here to COVID real quick. Preliminary laboratory studies suggest that three doses of Pfizer, the Pfizer vaccine, offer significant protection the Omicron variant. I think what it does is I saw one report saying it neutralizes Omicron.
I'm still getting a Moderna as soon as I'm eligible.
I got the Moderna. I think it's going to. They found that with Pfizer. I just don't think they have a report on Moderna yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure Moderna's the same, but it doesn't neutralize it completely.
Yeah.
Because in that article, it was like a Bloomberg article, mm-hmm. and that was the headline. Well, when you read the actual story, it doesn't neutralize it, but you do get a good amount of protection. The thing is, though, they're talking about that it's likely in about 4 or 5 months, we're going to require another vaccine.
Oh, good. Fun. So get in line already. Fun. Also,
it's just going to be like this, especially if people keep giving more firewood to burn.
It's their fucking fault.
In the form of their bodies, every single person who catches the virus becomes a variant factor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things I've been ranting about on shows that aren't this one over the past couple of days is the fact that I'm going back to Greg Gutfeld, and I'm expecting everyone to stop the podcast as I do this.
Every time I think about him now, I think about, you know, the exclamation point. Gutfeld!
You know? Yeah, I just...
It's like a Broadway show, you know?
The fat, yelling, laughing guy behind me really loves saying that. Gutfeld! See? But Gutfeld was saying on his show, and this is obviously something that is dominant among the entire Red Hat Entertainment complex, including places like Joe Rogan and so on. The Omicron variant isn't deadly, so this is the ideal virus to get natural immunity. But the problem with that strategy is you can't go out and just get the Omicron variant.
Yeah, you can't choose your variant.
It's not, you're not customizing your
COVID.
I'll
have the Omicron, please. Yes.
Can you give me the Omicron with the Delta on the side, maybe?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the dumbest fucking
no
thing.
No fucking dairy. No dairy. As long as there's no fucking
dairy. And a plate of natters.
Yeah. And you can't, if you get the wrong variant, you can't send it back like a bad piece of fish at a restaurant.
I got the Delta and I ordered the Omicron.
Having the chicken pox party like they do with the kids.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. They assume that natural immunity lasts a lifetime like the chicken pox immunity.
And they say that
it's not how it works.
If you have not been vaccinated and you got COVID,
yeah,
then you're 5 times more likely to get both Omicron and Delta.
Right. And a recent study showed that not only, but 36% of people who have had COVID don't develop any immunity at all. And that's the roll of the dice that these stupid motherfuckers are taking. It's unfucking believable that they're this dumb about it. And they're on television exposing themselves to liability, saying, hey, this is great. Go out and get Omicron.
Yeah, but they're all vaccinated.
Of course they're all vaccinated. Greg Gutfeld obviously
has to be vaccinated because Fox made him.
Yeah, right. And also, here's another wrinkle from Tucker Carlson. Getting COVID apparently feminizes you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Tucker Carlson was talking about this today. He was saying that Boris Johnson has become feminized.
What about Donald Trump?
What about Joe Rogan?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's all
who's had COVID.
Feminized.
Yeah. All the people at the Super Spreader Rose Garden event, all the people at the White House.
Tucker is obviously like, you know, there's testosterone just like dripping out of the end of his every very manly gesture. Like, he's so clearly an alpha dope.
Yes, yeah, he's so alpha.
That's right.
Whatever, dude. Yeah.
You could probably find like...
I'd like to watch him change a tire.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could probably find deepfakes on Pornhub of Tucker Carlson's face superimposed onto bears' bodies. You know what I mean? Because he is so tough and masculine. Yeah.
No.
I know. But that's
why would you do that? Why would you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea why he says these things. This is dumb fuckery. And it's amazing that Fox News viewers haven't sued all of these guys yet.
I know, really.
Yeah, yeah. Go out and get Omicron. Yeah. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which variant am I going to get now?
It's just not caviar, folks. It's it's not like beluga or tortuga.
Well, I mean, the truly dangerous aspect of that is they're going out and getting COVID deliberately, but who are they spreading it to between the time they're actually exposed and the time they show symptoms?
Oh, just servants. Just, you know, those people.
Oh, yeah. The irrelevant people. It doesn't matter if it's not you, right?
Right.
It's all about you, isn't it? That's the one of the major hangups with COVID. Because people assume it's all about them. Well, it's like, you know, if I get cancer,
my choice.
That's my choice. But it's not. It's contagious, you idiots.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, I just think everyone should carry around one cigarette, and when they start talking about how it's their body and their choice what
just
they put in the air,
blowing
just
smoke
light up
face.
Yeah, you
and
got
start
it.
Blowing smoke at them and just be like, okay,
it's
great.
It's my right. It's my right.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, the Shadow Docket show is coming up next on our Patreon page. If you're missing it, you're missing like one third of our usual Tuesday, Thursday shows because we do the first two thirds for free. And then we do the final third, called the Shadow Docket, only on our Patreon page. If you sign up for $5 a month, you get two of those Shadow Docket shows every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. And they drop first. The first shows to drop every Tuesday and Thursday on our Patreon page, always the Shadow Docket. And then the commercial-free version of the show, that's at $15 a month. Plus, you get the Shadow Docket and the After Party, too. And then the free version of the show also drops on our Patreon page. So you can actually listen to the free show for free, duh, on our Patreon page. Again, BobSeskaShow.com, or if you like complicated URLs, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meantime, Kimberly Johnson can be found at Patreon.com/StartMeUp. That is her Patreon page. Go and subscribe over there. Lots of great guests coming up next week. And then after the holiday break, Jamie Harrison.
Yes,
Chairman
chair,
of the DNC.
DNC chair, Jamie Harrison.
Start me up. Yeah, really excited.
Shut up. He's so fun.
Yeah. Meantime, David Ferguson is in a band called Astral Summer. That's at astralsummer.bandcamp.com.
I need to apologize because I've been working.
Quick,
and
you got
working
9 seconds.
Sorry, I'll make more music soon, I promise.
Okay. All right, take care, folks. Bye-bye.